know it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He's got it. He's the flag whistle. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. If you're on hold, you will be on the air talking to you about the Bears. Yeah, we're still not over it if you're just joining us, even on a Tuesday. We're still talking about the Bears and their loss against the Green Bay Packers. We should put this on the poll, Sean, at ESPN 1000. Did the Packers beat the Bears, or did the Bears beat the Bears? We should put that on the poll and see how that comes back. Because to me, it was a little bit of both. It really was. When you think about how difficult it was for the Bears, they were a comfortable, good first half, and then all of a sudden, they just fall flat. It was terrible. Because here comes Aaron Rodgers. He's on his high horse, confident. As a matter of fact, Rodgers said to the press after the game that he was confident, even down 17-0, as he returns, that they were going to win. Listen.
There ever a point just in the second half where you just felt like you were going to win this and you just knew that you were losing the game?
Walking out the second half. When I realized I probably should jog. I was thinking about walking from the tunnel out all the way to the sideline, but I figured I might as well jog a little bit to let Doc McKenzie know that I could do that, because I hadn't done that yet back in the bowels of the stadium here. And when I got the ovation at that point, I said we might as well win this thing.
No. Oh. He's so cavalier. He's not cocky. He's convinced. He's Aaron Rodgers. It's amazing, isn't it? He said, yeah, Doc, yeah, my ankle's not very good, but let's tape it up and let's beat the Bears. It's almost like the doctors had to let him know that, hey, by the way, while you're hurt, remember it's the Bears. You could be able to beat this team. Yeah, Doc, tape it up. Let's do it. I mean, just think about that. That's how difficult that was for the Bears. Rodgers is the hammer and the Bears are the nail in his career. It really is. And his head coach, McCarthy, is there with a lawn chair and he's there with some food and he's just watching the whole time. He's not calling plays. It's just Aaron Rodgers, whatever he wants to do. McCarthy was just kind of like,
those questions are really for, you know, when I'm sitting on a porch someday. Because, I mean, I was numb. I mean, you're always worrying about the next play, the next situation. You know, we had some, you know, clock management challenges there that we did a good job of. So you're so into the mechanics of the game. And then, but, yeah, definitely one of the best games I've ever been a part of.
God. Yeah, I guess so. McCarthy just sitting there with a lawn chair, you know, just like, bring me some more food. Bring me some more food. It's so easy for them.
He wasn't feeling that way when he saw him being wheeled out on that cart, I bet.
No, because DeShone Kizer sucks. That's why he didn't feel so good about that.
So Brian Kelly was right when he told him that he went out a year too early.
I think that some coaches in college, whether it's basketball or football, as you well know, will tell certain athletes, oh, you want to go? Please go. DeShone Kizer was told, please go. And so I saw him at Notre Dame, and I saw him at Cleveland, and I see him with the Packers, and that guy is not an NFL quarterback. Neither is Mike Glenn, by the way, but there's a number of those guys that are just not very good as backups. It's amazing, man. It really is. So the question is we have for you at 312-332-ESPN. You hit me up on Snapchat as well, SnapJHood. On Twitter.com, TweetJHood. We're asking the question to you. Pretty simply, are you over the loss yet? Are you over the loss for the Bears as they fell short against the Green Bay Packers? Some news and notes for you we'll get to in a little bit. Let me get your thoughts in. We're going to hear from Ted Albrecht, who covers the Wildcats. We'll talk to him in about 3-4 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. John of Valparaiso is on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hi, John.
Jay Hood, how are you tonight?
I'm good, John. You called back. There you are.
Hey, I'm here. You know, I'm not completely over it yet, and I got to be honest, I don't think my expectations were very high for the offense to start out with, just because of a new coach and, you know, second-year quarterback. But very disappointed in the defense. I think Aaron Rodgers' Hall of Fame speech, he better thank the Chicago Bears defense for his career. it just seems like he just eats them alive all the time. Yeah. But I can't remember the linebacker's name, number 4 for the Bears. He just looked lost in that second half. I mean, practice squad is all I can say for that guy. I honestly don't know what he was doing out there. I don't even know if he knew what he was doing out there. But my other comment, I don't know if the refs at halftime left their flags in the locker room, but, and I usually don't like to blame the refs, but could have killed them to at least make one holding call against those guys?
Don't do that. Don't do that, John.
I'm not gonna, all I have to say is that touchdown pass that he threw, I think it was to Allison, you look at the replay, I mean, their hands need to be surgically removed from the pads of the Bears.
I understand that, but don't do that. Don't do that. Kwiatkowski, maybe that's who you were talking about as far as linebackers. I don't know. Don't do that. Don't do that. If I wanted to work in Charlotte, I would pack my bags and work in the Carolinas. We don't do that. Not on this show. We don't blame the officials for Aaron Rodgers being so great. That's not right. Don't do that. The officials are not the difference between a win or a loss. This is a big boy market. Okay? Let's not do that. If I wanted to live in Tampa, I would put on pewter red and orange and be a Buccaneers fan and do that in this and do this show in that market where they can blame refs all day. We're not doing that in Chicago. Don't do it, John. Well, I will not allow it. The Bears underachieved and they made mistakes. The referees are not the difference between a win or a loss. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Glen Lake, Wisconsin. Brian with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Bri.
Hey, Jay. I want to talk to you about what you said earlier, you know, about adjustments or halftime adjustments. You know, if the game would have been reversed, the second half would have played out like the first and of course, the other way around, and the Bears still would have lost, I would feel a lot better because then at least they would have made some adjustments. And how can it be that in the first half, the right tackle from Wisconsin, from the Packers, gets manhandled, and then all of a sudden he's like the best there ever was. And you don't see nothing from no defense end or outside linebacker off the Bears anymore.
I know what you're saying. Like if it was flipped, then maybe an opportunity for the Bears, but just that wasn't to be. I think the one thing that you could say is there's a lot of positives you could take out of that Bears game, but it's just the idea that this team has to be able to finish. I mean, Nagy talked about it.
Yeah, you have to. It doesn't do any good to be close. It really doesn't. And that was the message in there with the guys. We don't feel good that we were close. Trust me, it sucks. But but again, we're not going to point – this one thing this team won't do, I promise you, is not going to point fingers at the offense didn't do well, the defense didn't do well, the special team. Won't happen. Not here.
You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad that you're with us here on this Tuesday night. The Wildcats got to get back on their winning ways. Let's go to a former Bear and Northwestern Wildcats analyst. He's right there on the deck. He's got a nice cigar, a nice drink in his hand. He's Ted Albrecht. He's with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Ted, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for having me. That's great.
How's a cigar? Have you had it on the? You're on the deck, aren't you? Usually, you're there on the deck and relaxing.
I am. I'm on the deck. I have a cocktail, and I do have my first cigar already lit up.
Just in time for the interview.
That's right.
So, Ted, before I ask you about the Cats, I got to ask you, get your Bears thoughts, because I know I'm sure people have asked you about the Sunday night game against the Packers. What stood out most about the Bears' loss against Green Bay?
Well, I did have eight guys in my man cave, and we were so excited in the first half of that game. I did have two Packer guys in the pit, as I call it, in the pit. And so the second half was pretty demoralizing. I think they have to learn how to finish. And it's not easy to win a football game from high school all the way up to the NFL. It's really hard. And I think they now have a defense that has to be reckoned with. They really can make things happen defensively, which is going to help their offense. But with a 20-point lead, they have to find a way. They have to build their confidence. They have to get really focused. And they have to find a way and learn how to finish games. And they have a very young quarterback. They have an inexperienced coach, first time as a head coach. He's calling the plays. So I think that it's all going to get better. But defense right now, they have an identity, and the identity is their defense. And the defense is going to carry it. Just like in 85, the defense will carry.
When you found out that the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, what was your initial reaction?
He is more than a difference maker. He is a Hall of Famer. It's very worth two first-round draft choices. Think about, okay, in 2019, first-round draft choice, who you want to get? Okay, I'll take a Hall of Famer. Okay, great, I'll take one. I mean, that's a simple deal. I mean, think, how about this? He had 75 disruptions in the pocket himself. Last year, the Bears, as a total defense, had 100. This guy, he played too many plays. He got tired at the end because he's not in football shape. But he is going to be such a great impact player.
I love the combinations. We talked to Ted Albrecht from the Wildcats Radio Network with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I love the idea that Akeem Hicks required a double team to open up the lane for Mack, to open up the lane for Roquan Smith, who got a sack on his first play. That's going to be a defense moving forward. It's going to be something to be reckoned with, that's for sure. What I want, Ted, is for the offense to match the defense at some point, because historically we know the Bears have always had some quality defensive players. Now I want the offense to match.
Well, I think the best thing they did is keep Fangio as the defensive coordinator and stick with that 3-4, because they had drafted around that concept of 3-4. Now you go on the offensive side, he's going to start putting in different types of parts to fill into to his offensive concept. I think he's got a great offensive coaching staff. Really good. And I think, think about Trubisky. He had, 12 starts last year. He's got two this year. I mean, he's only going to get better. His arm strength last night, he showed his arm strength.
Ted, I want to ask you about Saturday's game with the Cats falling short against Duke. What the hell happened there? I didn't expect for the offense to just go in the tank. What happened there?
Oh, Jonathan, we pinned them inside their own 10-yard line twice. We had the ball on the short field three times. I mean, literally at the 50 or less. And we were inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, and we didn't score. I mean, that is very, very depressing. And by the way, last year, we ended up with a 10-win season, and we're 2-3 after five games. They've kind of been there before. I was at practice today, very positive. We're playing Akron on Saturday, at a night game. I sense that we're going to win this game. I think that you look at the strength of the two teams. I think that, by the way, they won their conference last year and went to the MAC, and they lost in the championship game. So, I mean, these guys are not like you can just, walk out with your shoes and win. But last week, it was really disappointing, very disappointing. And I felt that in the postgame locker room when I interviewed Coach Fitz. But that's behind them. They moved on. Coach Fitz, I was talking to him today. He said, the kids are a lot more resilient than the coaches are. we like sleep on this stuff. The kids come back, they bounce back.
Ted, I really like the play of Jeremy Larkin. He ran the football so well, and then on top of that, he's a threat to catch the football as well. How much of a catalyst is he for the Cats offensively?
Well, I think our offense really involves the running backs a lot into the passing game. You know, he had 7 receptions last week. And I think he's going to continue to be a big part of the passing game. It's a big part of our offense. But he opened up at Purdue and with West Lafayette a week ago. He had 140, and Saturday he had 125 or thereabouts. So he is a really, really good player. But again, a running back is only as good as his offensive line. And, you know, we're a little banged up up front right now. So he is going to they're going to ask a little bit more from him. But he's a great player.
Ted Albrecht is with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app from the Northwestern Wildcats radio network. There was so much talk, Ted, before the season about how dangerous the Big Ten would be. Many thought that maybe the Big Ten, before it's all squared away, would be a stronger conference top to bottom than the SEC. What are your thoughts about the Big Ten so far here in early play?
Well, I guess only worry about what we can do and what we can control. Mm-hmm. I think we have a very difficult schedule this year. We have a lot of great home games. You know, we've got Nebraska, Wisconsin, we got Michigan, we've got Illinois. I mean, we Notre Dame, of course, coming in early November. We have a very good home schedule, very, very tough schedule. I tell you the truth, I think we got our hands full just focusing on what we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a really big test is going to be down at Dallas when TCU is going to face Ohio State. That's going to be a really good test for the Big Ten and Ohio State, for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game against Akron. It'll tell a great story about the Cats going into the Michigan game. I don't want to skip, but I can't help but to look at September 29th because I got that game circled and also the Michigan State game too. But it's Akron first, right?
That's right. Akron is number one. We have a bye week, and then we're going to invite Michigan at home at Ryan Field, and then we go right back to Michigan State up in East Lansing. So it doesn't get any easier, man. It's like welcome to the Big Ten, boys.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Well, I'm glad you spent some time, Ted. I just want to get your Bears thoughts, and I just need some clarity on that Duke game because that surprised, I think, a lot of people.
You know, we went down there last year, and it was very, very warm and humid, and we did not play well, and they played exceptional. And you know what? It happened again this year. They really played well. You know, I think the sad thing is that their best defensive player left the game very early, and their quarterback left very early. He's out for the season. Both players are out for the season. With quarterbacks, Jones is out with Daniel Jones is out with a separated shoulder, and I would have thought we would have like rallied and won that game. So I think you're right, Jonathan. Akron is a very important game on our schedule coming up.
Ted, we hope to talk to you again, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Say hello to your company for me.
I will, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, it's Ted Albrecht from the Northwestern Wildcats Radio Network. Does a great job with Dave Ennett with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Ah, the Ted Albrecht life. He's got company over. It's a Tuesday night. Cigar, cocktail, entertaining the family.
Living a Duval life.
Just comfortable. Talking Bears, Cats conversation. I love when Ted comes on. Because Ted is doing what I like to do most nights. And is doing this show on the deck with a cigar and a cocktail.
It'll be dope. Simulcast it.
That's it. Ted's always got, every time he comes on, we always catch him at night, and he's worked all day, and he's just settling in. You can hear him just settling in to the wonderful night. You know, 70s outside and out there on the deck talking Cats and Bears with me. I enjoy his company. I like a Ted Albrecht. Over the years, I've enjoyed him coming on the show, so we always appreciate his time.
Hope that be the back porch with a cigar, a little shot glass, or a little hen dog or something.
I don't know what he's drinking. Don't ask me. I don't know. I'm not there. Don't ask me. What, I don't know if there's any hen dog in there. Hen dog. I don't know what he's drinking.
There was something.
Well, he's just comfortable. I like that. I like that he's comfortable talking to me about the Bears and the Cats. I love his information. Jack in New Lenox on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan. We'll have Jesse at the bottom with a Cubs report. Hello, Jack.
Hi. I was just wondering, what was your opinion on the Khalil Mack's performance on Sunday?
Someone's squeezing you, Jack. I thought that for the first half, I thought that that he played very well. I mean, you couldn't help but to notice how aggressive that he was. He comes out there, he gets a touchdown, and he becomes a disruptor. Now, here's someone that has not played in any preseason games, waiting to get his money, waiting to find out if he's going to be a Raider or a Bear. And again, for the first half, looked good. But you could see how winded that a lot of those guys in the defense were, including Khalil Mack. So what I can't wait to see is Monday against Seattle and see exactly what he's able to do. You know, it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing about how some coaches hold players back in the preseason. Because not just the Bears-Packers game. If you watched the entire landscape, and I was watching a lot week one. It was the NFL. It was on. What else was I going to watch? Infomercials on Sunday? Bowling? I was watching it. I was thinking about that bowling, though. PGA is pretty good on at noon. Anyway, I was watching that, the red zone, and just kind of watching the first games, the 12 o'clock games, and watching the bewitching hour. The bewitching hour when the twists and turns there in the third quarter into the fourth quarter. You don't know what's going to happen in the bewitching hour. And you can see these guys just trying to catch their breath and how blown up they are. It's because they're not out there in preseason for four quarters. They're hardly out there for a quarter. So even though the Packers look like that they were in good shape, clearly because they had the momentum, but notice how the Bears were from a conditioning standpoint. Now, again, I listened to Yurko with that stuff because Yurko played the game and I did not. But he mentioned it on the show on Bears Monday and talking about the conditioning. And you don't expect your starters to be out there all four quarters in preseason action, but I still think that to be able to have as much football as possible and keep your skills sharp is a good thing. So, but, you know, you would love to see that Bears defense have something in the tank in the second half, and they did not. Adjustments were made clearly by the Green Bay Packers offense, but at the same time, there was nothing left for those guys in secondary. There was nothing left for those guys. That same push you had in the first half from that defensive line was not there in the second half. So that's kind of how you look at it, Jack, and I appreciate your phone call as always. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Please, someone stop squeezing Jack's whatever.
It's going to be his show and tell this Friday. He's going to bring the video, the audio, like I was on the radio.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he will.
With Jonathan Hood.
Yeah, I'm sure he will do that, yes. I'm glad. I hope his kindergarten teacher enjoys that. Tales from the Hood is next.
I go work like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to like
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Hi, Jack.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Time to get a Cubs report from Jesse Rogers. He covers the Cubs and the Brewers. Jess?
All right, Jay Hood. 2-0 Cubs lead as they come to bat in the fifth inning. Two big moments in the game. The first one in the second when the Cubs scored their two runs thanks to Victor Caratini, one of the best at-bats in recent memory. He fouled off seven pitches in a row with men on second and third. In the middle of that stretch, just seeing the pitcher turned and threw to second to try to pick off Javi Baez. He threw it into center field. Ben Zobrist scored. Baez up to third. And then Caratini pulled an infield single to right. Again, great at-bat scoring Baez on that play. So that's the Cubs scoring. But then in the fourth, Jose Quintana, who had
set up and dropped down nine straight Milwaukee Brewers to start this game in the first three innings. He gave up a single and a walk, and then he went 3-0 on Jesus Aguilar. But he came back and caught him looking probably the biggest pitch of the game to date, and then he got out of the inning getting the next two batters. So huge moment for Quintana after a huge one for Caratini. Cubs leading 2-0 in the fifth. Back to you.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Now time for Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats have some terrific home games at Michigan, at Nebraska, at Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more. Go to NUSports.com for the Wildcats and their terrific home football schedule. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You never know what you're going to get from Tales from the Hood. How about this? Sean Davis is producing the program today. Before I read this story, I want to get your... We haven't talked about this on the air. Talked about this, period, actually. About Kanye West going to Leon Rogers' show on GCI.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you don't know who Leon Rogers is, he's the one that says...
Listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
He's that guy. That's Leon Rogers, our voiceover person and also morning show host on the morning takeover on GCI, right? We have not talked about Kanye West coming to Chicago, a man who avoided our city like the plague for a long time. And coming back to do an apology tour. I'm not sure how to phrase it, but I just know that he was steadfast in his belief about how slavery was a choice and all this and other nonsense. And all of a sudden now he's broken down and he's teary-eyed and he's upset because one of his guys wasn't there for him and whatever. You also went to Bar 92, and he's been doing a lot of stuff around the city, as you've seen, right? What this clearly is for a means to an end more so than him truly being apologetic for his comments, right? Or am I wrong with that?
It's definitely a PR stunt, in my opinion, trying to reshape his image. I do believe one of the truest things he said in that interview is that Don C leaving him to come back home and start his own business and brand definitely hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really had no one in his inner circle that would say no. And I don't care who you are, how big you get, you always need somebody around you that'll say no. I tell my friends all the time, I don't need you to guard the door. I need you to kick the door down and come pull me out.
Well, I see these stories about Kanye West, and clearly a means to an end because he's trying to do things here in the city in which he would not do for years.
Absolutely not.
Not around Chicago State, his own alma mater. Not trying to do private parties like he should at the crib. Now, understand, now this is a deeper conversation that I've had on the podcast, actually, with Leon Rogers. Who am I missing? Corey Holcomb. Talking, and again, go through the archives and find those conversations. Look for the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood about how Chicago sometimes turns their back on their stars.
Corey Holcomb went very in-depth about it.
Yes, he did, actually.
Very in-depth.
And Leon did as well. I don't think Chicago turned their back on Kanye. I think it's vice versa.
Totally agree.
So,
In the interview that this made him realize how important he was to black people. That struck me as being very strange.
Well, he didn't think that before he married a Kardashian, or well, where did he think his standing was with black people, starting with high school dropout, with college dropout rather, the first album.
After College Dropout?
Yeah.
All outstanding.
Okay. Then what?
The first three albums, there was always something that he put out there, whether subliminally or directly in his lyrics, that was definitely pro Chicago and pro his people.
Right. I just don't.
After that, And he started linking up with the Kardashians and Kim, and now this drama and the battle with Drake and the rumors about Drake when he was in the hospital being with Kim. All this stuff is just a mess now.
So this story from ABC News, Kanye West fans rejoiced this week when the superstar rapper announced plans to teach a course at the Art Institute of Chicago and the American Academy of Art. But the celebration came to a halt on Monday as the school shot down his announcement. West made the apparently false claims during a tweet storm on Sunday, sparking online chatter from social media users who cheered the announcement and shared ideas on what his art class should cover. We need to be overwhelmed with love and inspiration. I will teach a course at the Art Institute of Chicago and American Art Academy of Art. And so that's not true.
You had Dunda's house.
But yeah, but
you had a school,
right?
A platform to do all of that.
I'm looking at
for
these
years.
I'm looking at these tweets you gave me. We need to be overwhelmed with love and inspiration. I will teach a course at the American Institute of Chicago and the American Academy of Art. He said that within 45 minutes of each other on the 9th. And so he says, let me start by apologizing for stepping on your release date in the first place. He wrote another post. When I put up dates, I was a bit ramped up, doing 25 tweets a day, and TMZ happened shortly after, blah, blah, blah. I mean, so the point is that that's not happening, because apparently the Art Institute of Chicago and the American Academy of Art are not aware of this.
No, not at all.
Now, maybe he's willing to give his services, but he's not doing that.
Did he try to bully his way into a class or influence his way via social media into receiving a call, thinking that they would be like, oh, Kanye wants to teach here?
Could you imagine what that class would be?
He's not, but see, he doesn't have that pull in Chicago anymore. It would be totally different if Chance did something like
that. Now you're talking.
Chance has that clout here now.
A man who went face up with the governor.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But Bruce Rauner, clearly, right? So I don't know.
And made a recent song that said, I might need security, going at Mayor Rahm Emanuel and asked for his immediate resignation. I don't know if you checked that song out. Little did we know, a month later, Rahm would say,
Rahm acquiesced.
Yes.
He's tapping out because Chance told him to leave, of all things. All right. Let's see what we have here. Miami, Florida, a Broward sheriff's office have arrested a man they say stole a BSO fire rescue ambulance on Sunday afternoon. BSO said they responded to a stolen vehicle call in progress in the area of the North Broward Medical Center in the 200 block of East Sample. The ambulance was eventually located 5700 block of North Federal. There was a GPS on the ambulance, and deputies were able to get the GPS and track down the suspect. BSO said that the traffic stop was conducted and the suspect, who was identified as Michael Paul, who's 25, was taken into custody without incident. Dude steals an ambulance, tells detectives he needed a car. God, they should put that guy under the jail. Not under the hood, under the jail. That's what they should do with this guy. In addition, Grand Theft Auto or ambulance, Paul was charged with driving without a license. On top of that, too, by the way, he was in court. He's unemployed and was ordered held on bond, $1,000 bond. That's it?
That's it.
Nah.
I was shocked by that as well.
It's just $1,000. Watch this, Paul. I'm going to get in a joyride. That's going to be a $1,000 bond for you, sir. Oh, I got that right now. Thanks for the ride. Clown. Mysterious vending machines offer pens, but really sell crack pipes. Also from MiamiHerald.com, as the guy outside front is shaking his head, wondering how he can get one. So, if you follow me on Instagram, there's a great picture of people outside here of our studio. You got to check that out. It's amazing. What an audience. An audience of like 10 people. They're all on milk crates and they applaud as we go to break, like we're on the Donahue show.
Yeah.
Let me update the reference. We're on Windy City Live.
Yeah. I got Black Eye. That always has two. Every day you see him. I don't know how he gets them.
Anyway, if you take them at face value, the vending machines are harmless pen dispensers. Just put $2 in quarters and the machine spits one out. But makeshift crack pipes are what actually come out of these vending machines, three of which have mysteriously appeared in New York's Long Island, Suffolk County, according to authorities. It's an interesting situation. Is it a pen or is it drug paraphernalia? Dean Murray, a New York assemblyman, said at a news conference on Monday, I don't remember ever buying a pen that came with a pack of filters. So I think it's pretty obvious. Mysterious vending machine offer pens, but really sell crack pipes. That's something, man.
That's crazy, right?
I'm looking at the picture of this now.
So they've been pulling all these vending machines that were meant to dispose or dispense pens.
It's a crack pipe.
They've been pulling them out.
It's a crack pipe.
All day. That's crazy.
Trying to get over. Trying to get over. It's amazing.
It's the hustle.
It's crazy, man. This world. It's 2018 I'm in. One night we're going to do a show, and I'm going to ask, which year would you like to be, would you like to go back to? Instead of this one where we live in right now. What day, what year would you like to live in?
I have my answer right now.
Do you have a year in mind?
Yes.
That was quality for you?
Yes.
What is it?
1991.
91.
Quality.
You know what? The turn of 1990, I think will work. 90 for me will work. Out of high school, going first year of college, not really sure what I want to do. I think 90 would work. Because out of high school, if I know what I know now, Oh my goodness, I'd be a bad man.
Woo! On so many levels.
Like 90 was pretty good. I think I'll take that. That or either 1977. Because at least I would have been. Because I would have made it to Studio 54. I would have rode that white horse at 77. Me and Michael Jackson. We would have been there together.
There's a lot of stars that were riding that horse.
I wish I knew if that's a true story about a horse being at
But Studio Michael 54. Jackson wouldn't have been the guy to hang out with. For what we've learned recently, the guy to go to 54 with would have definitely been Quincy Jones.
Well, clearly. I mean, apparently Quincy Jones. Yeah, apparently Quincy Jones saw a lot of stuff there. His daughter's gorgeous, by the way. Because she was on The Office. But, man, I like to go to Studio 54. If I could just turn the clock back and see what that was like. Then I'll come back. about 77. Yeah, that'd be good. All right, Davis, what do you have?
Well, it's homecoming season all around the United States.
Yes.
Homecoming game Friday night. Homecoming dance usually that Saturday night. Let's go down to Mississippi, where a Mississippi homecoming queen earned her school's admiration shortly after crowning her by kicking a game-winning field goal in overtime. Kaylee Foster, a senior who was named Ocean Springs High School's homecoming queen during a ceremony at halftime of the game against George County Rebels, swapped her crown for her football helmet and went back to work as the team's kicker. They ended up winning the game 24-21 in overtime. And, of course, she was the star of the game. Now, what stood out about this? As a guy, you're watching this.
Yep.
Are you turned on? Are you turned on? Are you in the stands like, man, she's a homecoming queen and she just kicked the game with a field goal? It's like, go back to 1990, okay? Since you say we'd like to go back there.
Yeah.
Go back to 1990. Hood at Gately Stadium, right?
Because I couldn't have been nowhere else, right?
Hood at Gately Stadium. Yes. And you see this young lady walk out on the field. She's the homecoming queen. She goes back in the locker room, comes out. You don't know it's her. After the game, they mob her. After she kicks the game-winning field goal, she takes her helmet off, and you're like, are you kidding me? It was her? Man, what is your immediate thought?
Well, my immediate thought is, if it's in Chicago, she might have a chance.
Touché.
But you said, what city is that?
Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
Right.
It'd been different if I said Pilahatchee.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You said you said Mississippi, right?
I did.
So imagine. Is there a picture of her?
I don't have one, but I'll find it.
Okay. Because I think that matters. It does matter. My girl is the homecoming queen, and she can kick field goals.
So if it was Shawana from the Triple Tray.
Oh, restaurant quality.
Restaurant quality.
Oh, there's no question. But I don't know that. See, that's the thing I don't know.
You would be waiting outside the Gately locker rooms.
If she looked like Megan Good.
Okay.
And she was kicking field goals and the homecoming, and she looked like that, yes. Yes, absolutely. All damn day. Absolutely. Baby, congratulations. You're my Marquette King.
What's your first question? Like, did you get it? Did you get all of it? Get all of that kick?
No, Davis, she'd be asking me that.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Oh, I got some Bulls news for you and some Bulls related news for you as well. Oh, man. All part of the mix. Also, we're going to talk some college football with Charles Arbuckle, my guy, and some Bears with Kevin Fishbane. All part of our Tuesday night together right here on ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.